time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Aliana, Marissa, and Cody. Aliana, Marissa, and Cody are each members of Occupy Seattle, and they're in here to talk about the movement here in Seattle and bring us all up to speed on what's been happening in our streets. Aliana, Marissa, and Cody, thank you very much for all coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you.
And we should first start out and point out that you're each members of Occupy Seattle. You don't represent it, per se. You're speaking for yourselves this morning. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I guess even then I'd use the term participant.
Participant. Very good. All right, so let's start out. If you could tell us, what is Occupy Seattle and maybe what got you involved in it? Who'd like to start?
Sure, I can start that. So I would say Occupy Seattle is a group of concerned Americans who have taken to occupying public spaces in support of bringing direct democracy back to the American people.
All right. And what got you involved in this?
I've been laid off 3 times in the past 4 years. I have a Bachelor of Arts in American Government and International Relations. I have had an extremely hard time looking for work. I worked for a large corporation for 5 years. I have tons of experience, and I am still looking for a job, been looking for a job for about off and on 2 years. So what actually specifically my breaking point, I guess, was when Bank of America, Occupy Seattle started on October 1st, and this was the same week that Bank of America announced that they were going to lay off 30,000 employees. It was the same week that Bank of America also decided to implement the $5 debit card fee. And I just thought, what a crazy level of corporate greed that is. How are you going to lay off 30,000 people and still feel the need to charge more money? So that was kind of my breaking point. That's what brought me into the movement. And I've been with this movement every single day since October 1st. It's been absolutely captivating what's going on here. It's really, truly amazing. The people that I've met are incredible. People far more brilliant than myself. People from all different backgrounds, age groups, racial groups, everything.
All right. I think I'd also like to add on to that, that as well as folks who might identify as concerned Americans, we also have folks who are either don't have U.S. citizenship or otherwise don't self-identify or are not identified as Americans participating, and that Occupy Seattle is really a local manifestation of a global movement. So just wanted to keep it in the context of this is a global movement that is happening right now. Occupy Seattle being a local articulation or local manifestation of that.
So Marissa? I would like to just say that I got involved with this because I'm really angry with the amount of social and economic justice I see everywhere. Particularly, I was watching Occupy Seattle's live stream one night, and they were about to run out of battery, and I logged in and asked if they needed a battery, and they did. So I just went down, and that was probably like less than a week after it started, and I've been involved since then. I think it's really messed up that when a student graduates from college, if they're able to go to college, then getting health care and trying to find a job in this economy is nearly impossible. I'm a student at UC Santa Cruz, and that's in California, and I was involved in protests for the first 3 years of college, really, over student fee hikes and cutting of programs and the lack of human priority in the UC system. And I was really angry about that because they've done over 32% fee hikes, and that rounds out to over $4,500 a quarter. And in this economy with all the folks that have lost their jobs, that's really hard to come up with. So then I'm going to college on student loans, and when I graduate, I have to find a job that pays, because otherwise I'm going to have to start paying my student loans and I'm not going to have any money to pay them. People are just having such a huge burden of debt in this economy. It's really detrimental to their livelihood. My mom worked in the financial industry for over 37 years. She worked for all the big bad names, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, name it. She might have worked there, not Bank of America, but she was an expert in her field for over 37 years and was laid off in just a mass layoff. She managed Charles Schwab's and his wife's money, and my mom can't find a job right now. She's been unemployed for over 2 years.
So talk about Occupy Seattle's or the Occupy movement's goals and or demands, whichever one you want to cover there.
So the question of demands comes up a lot. What are your demands? Gee, this seems like a really interesting thing that y'all are doing, but what are your demands? And to me, there's a quote: "No demand is big enough." I think that's actually the title of a piece. You can look it up on the internets. And to me, that's totally true, because demands seems to be in a framework of along the same lines of a request, maybe a more powerful request, a request with power behind it, right? That doesn't really allow for self-determination in my mind, and that's what the most important aspect of this movement is to me, is that as Occupy Seattle, our process allows for self-determination of that movement, of what we do, that our most primary form of decision making is the will of the people assembled, and really is where our power is in cultivating that space and getting more people in on that process, feeling the empowerment of actually being able to make decisions for yourself and your community together. And this is an open community that really we need more Seattleites and more folks to come and join the process.
If I were to answer that question, I would probably say, read our signs. If you want to know why any individual is there that day participating in any occupation around the world, read their signs. You see signs like CEO of Chase Bank, Jamie Dimon, makes this ridiculous quantity of money when the people that even work at Chase Bank may be struggling with health care. We had a protest at Walmart yesterday for Black Friday, and I think it was a success because, number one, it was peaceful. Number two, we came, we made our signs, we spoke with people coming in and out of Walmart, not trying to bother them or, ruin their happy Black Friday glow, but maybe just say, I know you're buying stuff at Walmart today, but maybe take a moment to think about this. And if you can, we'd love for you to listen to what we have to say. Read our signs and come listen to the speakers at our events. Come to our rallies and hear the chants we're chanting. We're talking about equality. We're talking about justice. We're talking about democracy. We're talking about having pride in the community you participate in. And I'm a California native, but since moving to Seattle for 6 months, I've had an immense amount of pride for Seattle and the people around me. I've had my faith in humanity restored in 2 days of working donations at Occupy Seattle. literally, the amount of generosity I've seen from people is so, so overwhelmingly heartwarming. I have such love for all Seattleites, for the generosity they're showing and the kind-hearted humanity that they're showing to occupiers all the time. By Dorley Ray makes a, I'm sorry.
Dorley Rainey.
Dorley Rainey, thank you. Dorley Rainey makes a mean vichyssoise, and she comes down all the time and makes us food, and it's so good. I was kind of curious to talk a little bit about some of the things we're most excited about with Occupy Seattle.
Yeah.
One of the things I've been really excited about lately is the fire department. I want to give a huge shout out to the fire department of Seattle. They are amazing at kind of our two biggest pepper spray incidents on the 2nd and the 15th. We've had the fire department come to our aid and just be so amazing. They're such wonderful people, and they do such a good job, and they were giving us saline, and they didn't have the 50-50 Maaloxone and water solution that we use to rinse out people's eyes, so they were helping people and giving us supplies so that we could treat people because we knew how. They were just amazing. And I'm also excited for maybe a new location. The logistics at Seattle Central Community College are getting kind of difficult in that we're getting flooded. So I'd be really excited for a new location to kind of take some of the lessons we've learned at our encampment at SCCC and take them to a new location, because I think our next spot is going to be set up real, real well with everything we've learned.
I want to kind of get back to our what Cody was talking about, democracy and really the need to really the need for consensus building and stuff, and we are looking for more people to join us in this democracy, and our demands and stuff. I'm getting off topic. I had something that I wanted to say, and then I forgot. I'm sorry. So I mean, there are certain things that everybody wants in this movement and has goals. Everybody has their own goals, I think, specifically of what they would like to see accomplished within this movement. But it really is all about democracy and getting together and actually building relationships and talking to people and critical thinking. I mean, personally, if you want to know why, what I would like to see accomplished, I'll give you a huge list. I would love to see corporations and government get serious about creating jobs, quit outsourcing. I would love to see a better healthcare, affordable healthcare. I would love to see us start overturning Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, that law. Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission. I would love to see us overturn that law. I would love to see us reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. I would love to see us have a state bank, like something that Representative Bob Hasegawa is working on. I mean, those are just some of the goals that I hope this movement will be, but really, it really is all about getting together and consensus building. Is that what you want? Is that really what's gonna solve this problem? So this movement, I feel, it's much more than a protest. It's about resolving the issues that we're facing today, these huge injustice issues, economic, social, environmental justices. How did we get here, and how can we fix this?
And so I really like that you prefaced that with it being all about like the democracy that we're building, mm-hmm. and the focus on developing personal relationships with folks,
yeah.
and community building.
Yeah.
Because for me, like those demands aren't things that necessarily resonate with me, right? As in terms of like seeing corporations and government and healthcare, workout, and any sort of framework that resembles what is currently there, right? Because for me in my analysis, we need to actually completely rebuild all of those services from the ground up, and totally that my one demand is his unconditional surrender. But these are things that we can discuss in our democratic process, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's what's beautiful about this is there's folks from so many different walks of life, so many different political analyses coming into dialogue with one another in the form of actual people, right? Standing next to each other, actually having these conversations. And it's not just happening, you know, over the internet where you go and you're an ideological warrior fighting on the comment threads of some YouTube video, right? There's an actual person that you have to engage with that is embodying these views. And that's something that is just, I think the most beautiful thing about this is folks are getting out of their self-selecting circles that kind of, for whatever reason, just tend to develop, and a lot of amazing cross-pollination of ideas is happening, and it just makes me really happy. I mean, the first like couple weeks at Westlake, I developed some personal relationships with folks that really are, they're qualitatively distinct from any other relationships in my life. Just in terms of those, I think it's because of those relationships starting off in a place of very, very open possibility.
On the note of human interaction, the best part of any day for me is when we have a neighbor or someone from far, far away come in through our camp and they're like, "So, why are you here?" That's my favorite question. Why are you here? And then we just strike up a conversation. I remember a gentleman who was one of our Capitol Hill community neighbors came through and he had his grocery bags on his way home. And he's like, "You know, I've passed by this camp every day for like 2 weeks and I'm just dying to know, why are you guys here?" And he just put down his groceries and had a conversation with me. And he's like, "Well, how do you think we should fix this?" And I was like, "I don't know. I had this idea that this might work." And then he's like, "I don't know about that. I mean, here's some problems with that." And I was like, "Yeah, that's legitimate. There's definitely some problems with that." And then someone else walks by and they hear us talking and they come over and they're like, "Hey, you know, maybe we could do it this way." And then all of a sudden some other person comes over and they start getting in the conversation. And then we're a group of a dozen people sitting there on a Wednesday afternoon with this neighbor of ours that had come by on his way home with groceries, and we've got about a dozen people having a conversation about how we can reform our tax system to best serve the people. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you want to talk about democracy in the streets? That sounds amazing. People are saying, "Well, how do you want to solve the problems that are your grievances? How do you want to fix the social and economic justice issues that you're talking about?" I want people to come and talk with each other. There's a huge untapped resource that our American government is not using, the people. The people are friggin' smart. They have a lot to say, and they have a lot of amazing ideas. And I want to see democracy come back into the streets and have the community building and the consensus building and the relationships that Cody's talking about. And I want to have the conversations about all of the laws and rulings that Aliana's talking about. And I want to hear what people think we can do about it, because that's where specific things will come about, specific demands, is when we have these conversations. And then out of those conversations, we're like, "I think a group of about 50 people think this is a great idea. How do we get this idea, this solution to a problem that we're seeing out of this smaller space
and into the conversation and dialogue of our politicians that are supposedly representing us. And an example of that is a representative is working on a bill. I'm pretty sure it's called the Occupy Bill. And it's basically working towards social and economic justice. But how do we come up with solutions to the problems that we're talking about? Have democracy play out right in front of you. Talk with your neighbors. And if you've come up with an awesome solution, talk to your representative. And then hopefully that representative will be inspired by the way that that solution came to them. And they'll talk to other people that represent us in the government. And then we get our conversation from the streets and our little camp and our little campments everywhere. Mm-hmm. Out of there into the neighborhoods, from there into the internet, from there into the news, from the news into our politicians' minds. And that's how you get change. It's the trickle up. It's the trickle up effect.
And it's a, you know, democracy is a, it's a frustrating process. I won't, you know, I won't lie
patience.
About that, but you need to have patience. It's beautiful at the same time. I think a lot of people, you know, I see a lot of people come to our general assemblies, and some don't come back. And I think maybe that they're frustrated that sometimes our general assemblies last 3 hours. But, you know, you really need to have patience because beautiful ideas will come about. You just need to give it time.
How long do assemblies of Congress last?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how long does it take to actually get a bill passed in our government? Because that takes a whole lot of patience. So maybe people could have just as much patience for us in our democratic process.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Preferably more because it's, there's a bit more reward to be had. And I think really patience shouldn't be so much of an issue if you're actually participating, right? I mean, granted, I've grown impatient with aspects of my participation, but I think that's a much different impatience or frustration that arises than anybody who might be standing on the outside getting impatient waiting for us to make a demand, right? In terms of this, the Occupy bill that Marissa brought up, here's where the term diversity of tactics comes to mind, right? So for me, that's not any sort of legislative endeavor is not anything that I can put any energy into myself, right? But that doesn't need to stop me from, or that doesn't mean that I need to go out and stop somebody else who sees that as a viable avenue for deep social change or whatever it is they're trying to accomplish, right? For me, I think the next step of this that's kind of already, began to be established in Seattle with the occupation of the building on 23rd and Alder is, and kind of started already, even before that in terms of Occupy Seattle springing up as a result of Occupy Wall Street in response to, Tahrir Square and the Arab Spring, right? Is people realizing that they can occupy wherever they are, right? You don't need to come down to Seattle Central. You don't need to go to the house on 23rd and Alder. You don't need to go to an occupation that somebody else has already started. You can start where you are or where you find opportunity. You know, a home is being foreclosed on your block. You rally your neighbors in support of your neighbor and occupy that building and don't let the bank put your neighbors out on the street. That's what I really, really want to emphasize in this, in how this works is the ability of anybody, anywhere to be a part of this in the way that they determine, they need to be a part of it. So if things are coming out of the General Assembly at, under the brand of Occupy Seattle, and you take issue with that, then show up to General Assembly. you know, don't just blog about it. That's not going anywhere. I don't read those. When I do see them, it's just too frustrating because there's too much of a disconnect between stuff going on the internet, on the blogs, on the Facebook. There's just way too much of a disconnect between that and what I'm experiencing on the ground with real people in front of me and around me. You know, there's been a big emphasis on the internet aspects of this movement. And for me, the only real, the main function of the internet for us is to get more people out to the streets or out to whatever sort of direct community building endeavor they can be involved in that is not mediated electronically.
Yeah, I'm actually part of the media working group, and that's one of our biggest topics is how do we get more people involved? And so the internet is obviously a big one. We're working on revamping our website right now. It's for those of you who don't know, it is OccupySeattle.org. I believe that revamping should happen in the next week or two. And so hopefully that's geared towards getting more people involved. How do you get involved will be a section and things like that. It'll highlight our working groups. That's it. Yeah.
Speaking of working groups, some of the working groups we have are media and sanitation and food and information and medical and our amazing folks with legal. We have an animal rights work group. We have a peace and safety work group. And they work real hard.
We have a Parents for Occupy Seattle, too. Oh,
Parents for Occupy Seattle are great. I just wanted to give a shout out. I'm a member of the Livestream Working Group, and we are a gaggle of folks that have come together to try to create an alternative, non-mainstream form of media and connection. So if you Google Occupy Seattle Livestream, live as in I live today and stream as in pretty stream like a river, it'll be the first link that pops up. And you can see archive videos of someone with a computer in the middle of a march.
There's actually archived video of the Rise and Decolonize Hip Hop Occupies event that happened on the 18th.
That was great.
There's like 2.5 hours of footage from that. And just before we're off, I wanted to give a shout out to a couple other URLs on top of OccupySeattle.org. People should really be following the calendar there. And then there's also allpowertothepositive.info, hiphopoccupies.com, and riseanddecolonize.wordpress.com are all some good places to check out.
So if you want to learn a little bit more about what's going on the ground, I would offer that you check out our live stream. And if you see on the calendar that there's a march going on, maybe log on and feel like you're in the middle of a march if you're not able to come down that day to participate, or, you know, if walking up hills in Seattle is not quite your piece of cake, that's totally fine. I really encourage you to watch our live stream and get a feel for what's happening on the ground. A lot of other media sources and short clips over YouTube don't necessarily give you the big picture of what it's like to be in the Chase Bank incident for, you know, the 2 hours that kind of went down in. The clip from November 2nd, the first day that we got pepper sprayed, I think gives you a really good big picture idea of what was happening with the protesters on the ground, because that's who we're talking to. That's where our camera's pointed. It's pointed at the police. It's pointed at protesters. It's pointed at passersby. It's everywhere.
All right. Well, on that note, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank all three of you very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Again, we've just been talking with Aliana, Marissa, and Cody, each a participant in Occupy Seattle, and you can find out more via their website, OccupySeattle.org, which includes a calendar of upcoming events and ways you can plug in.